live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, JB. How are you?
Doing just fine, Brandon Reif, man. Doing just fine, man. Ready to talk a little sports talk, man. You know, I don't know where you want to start at tonight, man. But we'll let you, you know what I'm saying, do your normal, man. So roll it on out for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Tonight's show, we're going to hit on college basketball. Obviously, the NCAA tournament's currently going on, so we are down to the Sweet 16. So we'll talk of our in-state schools here, obviously Purdue and Indiana. We'll recap those. We will talk some storylines just throughout the NCAA tournament, where we're at, looking ahead to the Sweet 16 games that we have this Thursday and Friday. And then kind of looking ahead as where the Final Four could possibly look at, which it may be hard to see just because of kind of how craziness, how the tournament's been as expected. We'll hit on some news and notes from the NFL. There was a lot of news since the last time we've had a show. So we'll hit on that as well as other college basketball news, but we'll hit on the NFL. So it's been a bit since we had a show. And then you might be asking why we're having a Monday show. So we didn't have no show last week. My grandfather passed away. Somebody I used to, obviously, you know, we played golf every single week together for the last 14 years. So obviously no show last week. And then this week we're having it on Monday is because the viewing and funeral is set up for Tuesday and Wednesday. So I will be out. Unable to have our shows then. So tonight's show is going to be, dedicated to my grandpa. He listened in a few times, dedicate tonight's show to him. And, just hug your close ones. Tomorrow, next 2 days will be a little bit rough. He was an Indiana Hoosier fan. And I will say, and I have it set for my eulogy tomorrow, is I think he had something to do with what happened Friday night. So, John, let's dive right into that. The elephant in the room, Purdue Boilermakers made history, and it's not the way that we thought they would be making history. They were the number one seed for the second time in NCAA history. A number one seed has lost to a 16 seed, and this 16 seed initially didn't even belong in the tournament because they didn't win their conference tournament. We could go 1,000 different ways on this. I think first off, we just go based off the game, and then we'll go from there. To me, John, this team just looked to panic in the second half late to where nobody but Edie wanted the ball to do anything. You shoot 5 of 26 from the three-point line. Everybody outside of Edie in that starting lineup went 10 of 34 combined. Caleb first, 2 shots, 4 points, 2 rebounds. Me and you have talked about what he needed to do. I will give credit to Fairleigh Dickinson. They came out. They had a game plan. They stuck to their game plan. Purdue, Zach Edie didn't take a single shot after 12 minutes to go in the second half. I didn't see adjustments made on Purdue's end, and the freshman guards looked very much like freshman guards out there. And this is where they're at. It sucks, but they have to eat it. They are the laughing stock of the NCAA and the laughing stock of the state. And there's a lot of pissed off people in the state, on another exit, the third time they've had an exit to a double digit seed in the last 3 years and four out of the last 6 years. So I'll ask you this. What was your thoughts on the game? And then we'll kind of go back and forth on a lot of things there.
My thoughts of the game, man, I think Zach Edey get double teamed.
Yeah.
I seen Zach Edey get triple team, man. Now normal basketball when I was playing, and that was, you know, mind you, 40 years ago when I first learned how to play, man, was if somebody's getting double teamed with the ball, first thing you do is cut as hard as you can to the basket to get an open shot, because that means you are open, right? But what they kept on doing was clanging three-pointers after three-pointers. I mean, they shot 19% for the night, 19%. That's what they shot. So I don't. At some point, like, why didn't we get some hard cutting? No, they did have hard cutting a couple times, Gillis. But first, I don't know, Brandon. I mean, I don't know. Like, there was definitely no secondary scoring support. And they kind of just, like, waited for Edey to do something. I mean, you know, they would get the ball across, and if Zach wasn't necessarily in position to where he's supposed to be at, they waited. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You got the ball. Go for the layup. Like, you know, you see what I'm saying? It's right. Just like they got the jitters. Total jitters, man. Total disappointment. You got it. You making Crossroads Sports and, you know, saying people to us like liars, because you got seated in Columbus, Ohio, close to where your fan base can drive to, and, you know what I'm saying, people cheer for you, and that people would, man, by the time the end of the game, man, I heard more people cheering for the underdog, Fairleigh Dickinson, than I heard cheering for Purdue.
Yeah, it was, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, we've got friends of the program, right? And
sure.
But they will say as well, it was embarrassing. It was a pathetic performance. They were not the better team.
Why
looking at it,
that's what you
exactly.
Like
that's
that.
A huge question. Why didn't you adjust? Why didn't you prep? There's a million questions. At the Big Ten level, it's easier. Okay, so the Big Ten's hard. I will give credit. As Matt Painter said, Big Ten is hard to win. It is very hard to win. They won it by three games. Okay. But you know how to scout and play against a team in the Big Ten, unlike playing a team in, say, the NCAA tournament, different atmosphere, right? So you know kind of what the other team is going to run because you've seen them before every single year. You know the coaches there and all that. Like you said, there was the game plan. I don't know what it was.
But they got no that was. I'm not saying – Matt Painter took a lot of questions after that game.
He did.
You know what I'm saying? And he was there for it, right? But to kind of say that's kind of like a scapegoat. I mean, saying that winning the Big Ten is hard. No, sir. I mean, it is, sir, but, like, y'all beat Duke this year. Y'all beat Villanova this year. And, again, Gonzaga, you know what I'm saying? I get it. Villanova's playing an NIT game, you know what I'm saying? And they were out, you know what I'm saying, early, but you had a great non-conference. You scheduled great in your non-conference. So, like, man, and they typically do. So, you know, just got the jitters, Brandon. And the arrogance of not wanting to change up your defense, because they will never go zone. You know what I'm saying? I put back to the secondary scoring.
They were quicker. They were so much quicker. Yeah. And their guard play was so much quicker than Purdue's.
Yeah.
And, you can say it on veteranism. And maybe that's the case. Purdue has a very freshman young backcourt, and they got exposed. They got very much exposed. And, yeah, I had over 800 damn text messages on my phone that I put a picture out that was just – it was hot. It would never – it didn't stop beeping. But here's the thing. And I don't know if I told you this or I told my dad this or whatever. I said, you know what you need to do? You got to wear it now. You got to sulk in it. You got to accept it. You're the laughing stock. And I don't think until it happens again like this, but I don't think you can live this one down right now, that you're going to have to suck it up, take it like a man, and go out and work harder for next year. And you have to have from day one, so Saturday morning when these kids woke up, they need to have the same mentality that Virginia squad did the same time they lost and what they did the next year, because they had Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy, who were younger, when they lost to UMBC, Baltimore County, and then they made an effort and said the next day is day one for the next year, and we are going to work harder. Now, I'm not going to say Purdue's going to go out and win it next year, but that's the mindset that they need to have going into it. Secondly, Matt Painter's and I heard something today. He has mastered the regular season and the Big Ten tournament. He has mastered the Big Ten. He knows what to do, what he needs to go and recruit to win the Big Ten, to compete in the Big Ten, to win the Big Ten, go to the Big Ten tournament, yada, yada. He's got to go out now and challenge himself to who do we need and what do I need to do, we need to do scheming-wise to advance further into the NCAA tournament, to be that elite team that right now we're kind of, I hate to say it, pissing away, but you kind of are. Luckily, you have everybody back next year except for David Jenkins Jr. I mean, granted, we haven't heard anything from Edie, but I don't think anything's saying that Edie's not going to come back next year. All these guys should want to come back next year and have a little pissed offness in them. Now, there's probably going to be a couple people leaving or something, somebody leaving for a transfer portal. And then also that's their thing. They need to go out and see what they can get in the transfer portal now to add to this team. I don't know if Roosevelt Colvin's son, who's coming in as a freshman, if that's just a piece you add and you improve, I don't know. I mean, you're still adding another freshman forward.
Yeah, but he is supremely athletic, and that would be a different wrinkle. I don't know if Zach Edey's kind of staying around, Brandon. Like, that is something, like they could put that in the NBA, and situationally, that could be put in an NBA situational game. Like, I'm not saying lottery picks. I'm like, John's Bird's over there, Zach Edey's about. So he has to kind of wow. He kind of has to weigh his options because he'll be a well-traveled NBA guy. It won't be, the day-to-day guy. They'll send him down at a G League assignment. They'll send him, you see what I'm saying? It'll be a call-up or whatever until they can kind of figure out, what position, what kind of fit he'll forge for a team, man. So does he want to do that at that number? What does that number look like for him versus what does an NIL number look like for him to come back for Purdue? Because everybody knows, yes, he does have another year, a COVID year, right, that all kids have. Should he want it. So I don't know, Brandon. I don't know if he runs it back or not, but if he does, man, that just makes it even more of a draw. It definitely favors – I would put it even favors even if he doesn't come back. Brandon. Like, people counted Purdue out. Nobody had them. They were ranked sixth coming into this big year's Big Ten. Everybody had IU. I mean, Crazy Dan Dockett had IU in the Big Ten. Other people had IU who was in Maryland. Winning the Big Ten, and here Purdue won the Big Ten, man. Don't crap on the fact that they won a championship, just yet, folks, man. You know what I'm saying? So you might want to say maybe this was a down year for the Big Ten. Iowa just a little bit inflated. Wisconsin just a little bit inflated this year. You know what I'm saying? Maybe in those terms, maybe their position should have been taken by some different mid-major teams. I don't know. Different show debate, right? But you can say that now, looking, I get it. In the last two seasons, right, some of these teams in the Big Ten just hasn't necessarily performed up to, what they historically have done, right? Purdue ain't one of them. And I get it, man, tournament, but you know what? The tournament is also your resume going into, into your season. People forget about that. Okay, you can play, loosey-goosey and have a, like Clemson did, and have a great resume, but like your KenPom is, all that is a different situation. They play lousy, Purdue doesn't play lousy. Purdue plays teams. So don't be telling me Purdue's overrated. Don't be telling me, Matt Painter should go. Matt Painter should adjust to, again, there's a new wrinkle in here, and you're right. There's a new wrinkle in here. It's called NIL, right, Brandon? There's a new wrinkle in here, and maybe y'all not spending enough NIL money to get XYZ player to come in to help run your show because they needed a secondary. All they really needed was a secondary guy to get above.
And they really thought probably they were going to get Nigel Pack this year. And that could have made the difference possibly. I don't know. I think they really considered that they were going to get him. And then when Miami swooped in, I think that's kind of what did it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said it. You brought it up. I've heard more people and I've seen more people. And I've had it on Twitter, and I've had it on Facebook. Purdue needs to fire Matt Painter. Purdue fans, we need to fire Matt Painter. We need to get rid of Matt Painter. Folks, we just won the Big Ten title. I understand. And like you said, you were ranked pick six and you won the Big Ten title, you know. And I understand this hurts. And this is really bad and it's embarrassing. We got to sulk in it for those Purdue fans for a year to get, you know, and who knows how long. And IU's going to have this over you. Yada, yada, yada. But it's not enough to fire Matt Painter just for that. He didn't miss the tournament after being like a preseason number one, like Hubert Davis in North Carolina. Look at those coaches. Okay, I want you to look at coaches out there. I said this out here. I'm sorry. Is there a coach out there that's better than Matt Painter right now that they can go get? That's going to be better for this program and the culture of this program?
Right.
Because there's not. Coach K ain't coming back anytime soon to play college basketball. Jay Wright ain't coming back anytime to coach college basketball. So I think we need to pump the brakes there on that. I've never called for Matt Painter's head. I think Matt Painter, and I've said it several times, Matt Painter is the head coach of the Purdue Boilermakers. He needs to be. He will be. And he knows what he needs to do. He's not going into it. Some people don't think, you don't think this hurts Matt Painter? Are you kidding me? He's chomping at the bit. I have to believe. And if he's not, then that's the time where you need to get rid of him. But I guarantee he's chomping at the bit. I guarantee Brandon Brantley's chomping at the bit. I guarantee these rest of these assistants are chomping at the bit because it's get rid of Matt Painter. There's nobody else out there. I'm sorry. Now, let me play devil's advocate. Say you were going to get rid of Matt Painter, and the Purdue Boilermakers said tomorrow, hey, sorry, Matt, you did what you did with us, Big Ten championship, who gives a shit, third year not making the tournament, boom, or getting past the first round, you're gone. Who's the only person I would look out there to go get, but he wouldn't want to come, is Michael Shrewsbury, the former Purdue assistant. But why would he leave Penn State where he's got something kind of good right now? Why would he take a lateral position? I'm sorry, that's going to hurt some people's feelings. Why would he leave a lateral position from Penn State and come over to Purdue in the same conference?
And his friend.
Exactly. I don't know if he would do that. So that's the only other person I see coaching-wise that I would go out and get besides Painter if Painter decided to quit. That's the only person I could see that Boilermaker who would fit the team and culture.
Right.
Exactly. That's the only person.
Yeah, Rick Pitino just signed up with St. John's, y'all, so he's not coming to the Midwest.
And Ed Cooley's going to Georgetown. Mike Bray's in South Florida.
That's crazy. Mike Bray, did he graduate? He had to endure a South End winter. And then he got South Florida.
And now, he gets to stay with Under Armour because Under Armour's the main sponsor of South Florida Bulls.
Wow. We got to get meter credentials there, man, for sure.
I wish. So, we'll see. People need to stop the brakes. Matt Painter and them, he's fine. He's going to stay as the head coach of the Purdue Boilermakers until he decides he's ready to leave. And I think it's going to be his calling, not the faculty or whatnot. I'm sorry. Purdue fans, I'm sorry. I'm a Purdue fan as well. You know, I hate to say it. You kind of got to wear it. And it's going to suck. It's going to sting. But you shit in the bed. You got to lay in it. So deal with it. And just hope that the team and the players and everybody works hard and make sure that this doesn't happen again next year. So look at the other side, John. Indiana Hoosiers. Good win over Kent State. Good win on Kent State over Kent State on Friday night. They looked really good there. They were hitting all cylinders. Trace Jackson Davis. You had good Hood Shafino on that night. So you felt good. And then you went into last night's game. IU fans had to wait all Saturday. They had to wait all Sunday until the evening. I said they played good for 35 minutes, John, against Miami. And I'm going to say good, not great, because there were several times where it took what I text you about? It was 5 minutes in before Trace Jackson Davis even touched the ball. How many possessions before he touched it and got shots off? Miami was the faster team. I thought IU played well for 35 minutes, and then they just flat out, in the last 5 minutes and 15 seconds of the game, they flat out quit.
Mm.
They quit. Mm-hmm. They quit. And that's all I'm seeing everywhere, too, that they quit, because They gave up 20-something points. The defense was lacking. Nobody looked like they cared. Hood-Schifino, the last 2 minutes, I think he threw up like 13 extra shots himself.
Yeah, poor shot selections. You can't have that. Guards in this NCAA tournament, guards cannot have poor shot selections. And not only did Hood-Schifino, what's his name, Tamar Bates.
Tamar Bates.
Oh, my goodness.
He had the worst thing. 0 for 6 and then 0 for 7.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. So the best player on IU's team is Trace Jackson Davis. He had like 4 touches or something ridiculous in the first half. I don't know, man. That's like, who's the coach? Did you run the play? Or is Trace not being aggressive? Like, so I don't know, because he finally got into it, but
right.
even still, less like when the game they had got back into it, and oh my God, so many tug and pulls with that they really could not stay in front of Isaiah Long for any reason. Even he was, I
yeah.
think he had like 2 offensive rebounds. You know what I'm saying? So he was just kind of everywhere, in amoeba form. You know what I'm saying? Everything for them.
Nigel Pack had a huge game.
Yeah, Nigel Pack had a good game. And then they have some ancillary guys who are like 6'7", 6'8", who can move around and get rebounds and get little dunks, man. And that's kind of how Miami is in a nutshell, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't really go deep, but you can kind of say maybe Woody got out-coached, man, but he was fired up at halftime because he was like, hey, guys, man, wake up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he got they woke up, and then it wasn't, man. Hood-Schifino has got a ton of vision, man. You can't bring guys in. Everybody sees the talent. I see it too. Everybody, Big Ten freshman of the year. I get it. That dude's not ready for the NBA. I mean, he'll be out there NBA. It'll be points, 10, 11 points next year. Yeah, man, but like,
it's all based off of potential, man. He's going to the pros because it's based off potential. Yeah.
Yeah, but like that really needs to come. Like, situational basketball, taking a great shot over a bad shot, knowing to get the ball to the big man, that's not yet. And like, he's gonna get a hard ride of the truth when he has to play with whoever he has to play with, you know, who comes to draft him, whether it's New Orleans Pelicans or whoever. You know what I'm saying? The Atlanta Hawks, you go get, hey, man, get the ball into, you know what I'm saying, whoever before you shoot it. You know what I mean? That's how it is in the NBA when you're a rookie. But, like, again, you know what I'm saying, it wouldn't be a bad, like, it doesn't know how to be. They did not get great guard play at all. Guard play.
No.
The second
Especially
time
for
around,
what they thought. I mean, what was the hype for Tamar Bates, right, going into the season? This guy's got pro potential, 5-star, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, folks, he was 0 for 13 in 2 games.
And
he looked chaotic out there. Like, he was
very
chaotic.
Just throwing it up. Yeah, just throwing it up. Off one look, I was like, oh, man. So that's coming back next year? Plus Xavier Johnson on another medical year? And I don't know what else. I
need
to
tackle Jaden Renew, and you need to tackle the portal.
Stop it. He did?
No. They need to tackle. They need to get some good talent out of the portal.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will, man. They are very quiet right now, but that's not really an IU thing, man. Like, that again, as much as critical as Purdue we can say about them winning, everybody's kind of homegrown. They got a couple guys, of course, they brought from transfers. I get it, man. They're not very flashy, and they're not, you know what I'm saying, they're not me guys they brought in. But 90% of Purdue is homegrown, and they got the trophies to show it. IU got a lot of hype. Yeah, I get it. This year they went over. They beat Kent State, man. Kent State, man, is arguably, you know, saying that Toledo should have made the tournament over Kent State, but Kent State won the tournament. It is what it is, man, with the MAC. MAC was, you know, they were a little outsized. They weren't outguarded, you know what I'm saying? But they were outside. Trey Jackson, they had a great Friday game. You know what I mean? Because it was apparent. Oh, get the ball to Trace. Then when it was a game, everybody got a little bit tighter. You got some guys like in your same length, and they forgot to get the ball to Trace? That's crazy, Brandon. That's crazy, man. Get them, dude. They got to get back. You know what? I got to get back in these trenches of trying to win guys over. But I get it. That's long-term. Locally, that's long-term. I get it, man, because right now Purdue got locked. It seems like a lock on that. But I – there's a lot of mid-major talent that you and I know that we've seen that went mm-hmm. to another school that I don't know, that IU or Purdue would should have. It's like this arrogance because it has to be, Brandon, because a lot of mid-majors run different exotic defenses. That's what kind of bright, and that's what IU and Purdue, they won't do. They'll stick to their guns. We ain't doing this. It's got to be like this. So maybe that's where the wiggle room is for both programs. You got to figure out, like, they got teams now got guys that can play. Like, Kansas State got different speed guys, like guys that can play real quick. And Kansas State beat the hell out of Kentucky just based off of, like, smart guard play.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't all talent. Kentucky got three at least low first rounders. They got that kind of talent, and they got beat by a dude who probably, we ain't gonna never remember. Other than they had a great Kansas State run. Kansas State won't win another damn game. I'm sorry. Tell them people to call me. They won't win another damn game. Big 12 teams don't trust them. Big 12 teams do not trust them. Where's Missouri at? Big 12.
I mean, the only team left there is Texas.
Well, SEC. Yeah, Texas. Yeah, only team left is Texas. But, like, again, man, everybody, this is where we at, man. Brandon, this is the most wonderful time of the year. And I know that says people used to think that's Christmas, but I think it's also March Madness, man, because you got teams out here. Also, we also forget people. Like, the small schools don't always get to play the big schools because the big schools don't want to play them because it comes with a cost. What happens if Fairleigh Dickinson plays Purdue in November and they beat them? Oh, my God. People's like, Purdue's on the bubble, right? You know what I'm saying? So that's why Purdue plays Villanova. They'll play a power school on a neutral site. You know what I mean? It looks better on the resume. You can't play that, you know, mid-major Yorktown State. You can't play them and beat you. You know what I'm saying, on a neutral field. Plus, it's not a money game. All that kind of comes into play, too. But, you know, these teams, they got it. These local teams, it hurts me when when the Indiana teams ain't in there. I have my personal allegiance to people that I align myself to, when I grew up believing in. But, man, dude, when Ball State, I knew Ball State was in jeopardy when they lost three straight going into the MAC tournament. I'm like, man, you didn't put yourself behind the eight ball, Mike Lewis. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, Butler, come on, man. Get that. They need to get that going.
It's a struggle everywhere here.
Right. And
think about it.
Maybe we're going to Butler in April, and maybe we'll, you know what I'm saying?
Purdue, Butler, Hull State, IU, Colts, Pacers.
Well, Indiana State played today. Indiana State played in the
and they got beat.
Sit down in Daytona. Damn. Well, come on.
They got beat. no defense. They got beat. So yeah, this state. I'll say the city here in Indianapolis, but I think the state even is just looking for something, some kind of good news, some kind of just to attach to. And right now it sucks that you know the basketball state, and you ain't there's nothing left. So
who's that? And the Pacers say that we grow basketball, ain't that their motto or something like that? I mean,
mm-hmm.
It kind of goes like you said. It kind of comes with the state, Indiana, and
yep.
Right now Indiana sports, as far as basketball, man, we watching more than we playing than we are right now. So it's
we'll take a we got a call real quick. We'll take that. I think this is our guy here. Is this Nas?
Yes, sir. What's going on, y'all?
How are we, Nas? Doing well.
I don't know, man. Like, look, y'all got to understand, man. It's hard for a Midwest boy to live in SEC country in the break room when the Big Ten does what it does in the tournament, bro. Like, this is out of hand, dog. Like, I'm tired of the jokes. I'm tired of having to deal with it, man. We need a Big Ten meeting, something. We need something to go down. We need some reform or something to go on, bro. I'm tired of taking this abuse in the break rooms. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right.
100%
folks will not stop.
Unless you're
Michigan
State fan. Unless you're a Michigan State fan and on board with everything Tom Izzo has done over the last, what, this is like his eighth Sweet 16 appearance or something like that, crazy. I know I might be
more than that.
Too. But, like,
yeah,
man.
Those really count when we get one of those Tom Izzo teams that's like – overachieving is not really good, but it's kind of, you know, force of will made it this far. Like, we know they're going to lose, right? Like, I don't know.
Eventually? Yeah, they eventually.
He's been to eight Final Fours.
Wow.
Yeah. And how many?
But almost he needs to win a second one. Yeah, he needs to be a second. He needs to win a second one, I think, to be taken. I mean, he's taken serious. But when I heard them say Mr. March yesterday, I'm like, come on now. Like, that's fine, but he's not even close to Mr. April because they've only won one time. And I know they went to three straight, what, 99, 2000, 2001? Three different times to the Final Four then. And then they had a runner-up in 2009.
And they were loaded. And they were loaded during that period. So, I mean, I don't know, man.
Nas, I think we do. We need to have a round table of the Big Ten teams and figure out what the hell's going on. And because we haven't had a champion since 2000. Man.
It's ugly. But you guys are speaking about something with the transfer portal and everything else that's kind of important. All of the people who, when this first started, said, the kids are not going to stay anywhere. The transfer portal is going to be a disaster. But the transfer portal has actually hurt mid-majors more than anybody because the guy have a good season at a mid-major, and boom, he steps
right
up. Now he's in, you know, one of the bigger conferences. So I think the Big Ten could benefit in that way as well. Like, it was way too much talent around the MAC, like you guys are saying, for the 10 not to come get some of those guys.
Yeah, how come my deal is my only advanced scouting, because college sports prides themselves on their scout reports, right? How come they didn't know that guy was going to be a guy in the first place? When you know you need, you know what I'm saying, more than just a 6'7", 6'8" guy, you know what I'm saying, to help you run your little defense, Matt Painter, or do a little body. Matt Painter needed some athletic guys that got some wiggle in their hips, man, that can move around, that somebody that it's not going to be stiff. If you know what I'm saying, we tell you to cut to the basket. You know what I mean? And he doesn't have that. I'm not saying, like, I'm not saying with the Toppin brother. The Toppin brother plays wild, but like he's got a lot of, like, if you got a guy like that, he can kind of. I mean, I'm just saying, you got somebody like that you can kind of corral and get, like, dude. Those kind of guys become like college basketball legends. You can't promise nothing on the NBA level. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you talk about Purdue. But it's those kind of guys that he needs, and he's not necessarily getting them, or going after them. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. I think there might be some truth in both of those. So, but like, yeah, man, I don't know. There's more to blame than just Purdue. Like, there's Illinois. There's nothing special, you know what I mean? But I think what happened with them is like they got a lot of talent that left and went to the NBA. So now they blow a scholarship, and they're not their program ain't special. A lot of these programs ain't special enough to like deal with that. So like, if they target a one and done kid, they're dealing with losing that scholarship, right? And dealing with that vacuum of not having that scholarship year over year. If they try, Wisconsin can't turn into a one and done factory. You know what I'm saying? Illinois can't turn into a one and done factory, but they flirted with it, right? And it's to kind of think of where they're at right now.
Yeah, but it also has to be kind of baked into your recruiting. So if you're going after this one-and-done guy, you should immediately know, okay, we're going to need a JUCO guy to come in immediately, or we're going to need one of these veteran guys to transfer.
Right.
Like, you kind of have
to. You're looking 2 years out.
Well, right. And also, the ceiling chasing is a problem as well. There's so many guys who get pushed up by these recruiting services to where everybody's like, okay, this kid's a five-star, this kid's an NBA, da-da-da-da.
Come to
find out, most of them fit the athletic profile, but they're not that kind of player, where you can get a three- and four-star guy who might not be there, but for the college game, those all-conference guys, I mean, that's as good as it gets, especially one that's going to stay for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So, yeah, that's wild, man. And you guys cut Matt Ryan a couple of weeks ago, man. I still can't believe that turned out that terribly. Like, look, I knew there was a chance that, you know, Matt could be cooked, but I had no idea it would turn out as terribly as it did, man.
Yeah.
But
shout out to
T.J. McConnell. Shout out to Indiana's own T.J. McConnell, who still will make money for you every day in the prop market as long as he plays. If Halliburton's sitting, just throw McConnell, man. I don't know what the hell happened. Somehow this dude will give a triple-double to anybody if he gets enough minutes. I don't know what this is. And you know, before I get out of here, how are you guys feeling about the roster? Are you good with keeping Miles and company there, kind of building with Halliburton and company, or how you guys feel?
I am. I am, to kind of see, because obviously if it doesn't work, you don't have Miles, but what, 2 more years to where you can unload if you need to. But I think he gives you, as of right now, a best shot to get to where you want to be, which, let's be real, Pacer fans, is what, a 4, 5, 6 seed, realistically? So I think he gives you the best shot for that. Not to win a championship, because this roster's not close to that if you look at the top teams. So, but I think if you want to get to 4, 5, and 6, I think, yeah, you build around it. And if it sucks after a year, it's like, hey, man, we gave it a shot. We gave you a contract. Let's see what else is out there. Jonathan, on the other hand, I think he's ready to pick him. Even though that was a good dunk the other night on Giannis. I'll give him that. And nobody saw because of
that tournament. Highly critical, man. You ask for all-star money, you got to start playing like an all-star every day. You know what I'm saying? And you know, he's been out there. He got a big splash. He finally exercised a guess. And because they won the game, he had a big dunk on Giannis. So he doesn't look weird, weak, like when he plays against elite level bigs in the NBA. He comes off looking, his game just comes off really looking real weak. But that game against Milwaukee, man, the Pacers looked good. And like I said, he had a big splash. However, there was the Joel Embiid game, and against Sixers, and it's a different situation, man. Yeah, we got 20 points, but like Joel looked like the MVP. Joel went off MVP night again. Matter of fact, solely Terrell Maxey. You know what I'm saying?
Miles had 10 points and 4 rebounds. That's it.
Yeah, so he wasn't even the third best player in the game. You know what I mean? So those are the frustrating things that you have to deal with, Miles Turner, man. But here's the thing. Future is bright for the Pacers overall. They have picks. They got movement. They can do some things. They got contracts, you know, they can absorb. That keeps people around here, you know, saying engaged and whatnot. So I think that they'll be thinking about definitely playoff push next year, for sure. Because the fan base will be losing their mind if they don't, like, you know what I'm saying. This downtown area feeds off sports, you know what I'm saying, whether it's Colts, Pacers, or even, you know what I'm saying, the residue that comes from, you know what I'm saying, the minor league football, baseball teams they have here, whatever. But, like, you know what I'm saying, and, like, when the Pacers go deep into the playoffs, man, you have a lot of, you know what I'm saying, you know, partying and whatnot, and, you know what I'm saying, high-fiving, you know what I'm saying, with all that, you know what I'm saying, beer chugging, all that, all those things kind of come with that, man. It hasn't been, like, that deep into like, you know, May and April, like it has been in past when Reggie in that era was running things, man. So they got to get back to that, man. And, like, they got, and you know what I'm saying, the talent, that's what they got to get, man. And, like, hopefully Miles Turner shows a little bit more heart, like, next year and takes a little bit more response. Like, dude, they paid him all-star level money. Play like an all-star. That's all I ask.
Right. Tyrese is the real deal, and you got a couple of guys you kicked the tires on. So, Naismith and what's my man's name? Junkyard Dog Style, Isaiah Jackson. Like, guys like that, you just keep around to see if something possibly could pop out of it. And if it doesn't, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't really cost you anything. But,
right.
You know, to go forward with Halliburton is serious. And Buddy is always going to be a trade chip if need be. So, I don't know.
Let me ask you this down there. It came to a head where it was either Nate McMillan or Trey Young?
Yeah.
So they decided to get rid of Nate?
Yeah, well, I mean, Nate was under fire, too, because the same reason you guys pushed him out, the criticism of the offense, being stagnant, not enough changes. And then just outright, when you're a small market, as Atlanta and Indiana are in NBA basketball, Atlanta's not a real small market when it comes to other entertainment, but in basketball we are a small market. When you've got a superstar, man, you're not going to win that fight against him when he talks to the owner. I'm sorry, you're just not. So – once it became a Nate, him or me issue, Trey's going to win that every time because small market teams are so scared of losing superstars before they can really lock them up in that supermax for that last deal. And Trey has a lot of sway in that building. I don't know how much now, though, with Quinn Snyder in there, because if you got rid of two coaches, you can't run Quinn out too. So now it becomes a thing that Trey's going to have to figure out a way to get along with him. And Quinn appears to be doing a good job so far.
Hey, let me ask you this. Are you much of a baseball guy?
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on this World Baseball Classic, man? Causing injuries. And obviously, you know, Altuve's out. He's going to be out for a while. And you lost Diaz for the Mets and all this. People are getting hurt playing this thing. And, yeah, some people say, man, I ain't going to play this. Like Aaron Judge goes, I owe to the Yankees. I'm not going to play for Team USA. What's your thoughts on the injuries with all this? Should we be having the World Baseball Classic or just bypass it?
Well, you can't have it both ways. We can't have a whole MLB ecosystem complaining about the age of fans and how young folks aren't into it and how everything is in decline, and then say this world event that's actually drawing in more fans is a problem.
Right.
Like, if you're the Yankees or one of these teams who doesn't want their players there, hey, as an owner, that's your right. Like, you have a right to, you know, discourage your guys from playing in it if you want. But we got to think about where these people are from. If you're from the Dominican Republic, this is the biggest sporting event for you that you can do besides the World Series. So those guys are going to be in. If you're from Japan, like, you're going to be in. My biggest problem is the point spreads are, prop spreads are all wrong about the World Baseball Classic. And I haven't made any money betting on it, so I left it alone. I'm betting on spring training at this point, man, because I ain't messing with that WBC.
Right.
But, dude, tell me that Trey Turner moment. Like, dude, is that the biggest moment you've seen baseball-wise in a few years?
That was huge.
I wouldn't argue that it is.
Yeah, that was huge. And I'm jealous because my team around here is the Cincinnati Reds, and they ain't going to have anything close to that for a really long time. So they had 100 losses last year. It'll probably be 120 losses this year. But, yeah, that was an incredible moment the other night. And I actually caught myself watching more of this World Baseball Classic than I thought I would be with Team USA.
Me as well. So. But yeah, the injuries, I mean, that's a problem. But, hell, what can you do about that? Nothing.
Right. I mean, it could happen in spring training too, right? I mean, it could either happen there too.
Right.
So. All right, Nas. It was a pleasure, my man. Be good.
Thanks
and
always, man. Y'all have a good one.
Try to survive all your coworkers, man.
Yeah, these SEC people are horrible. All right, man.
Oh, yeah. See you, buddy.
Bye.
All right, that's Nas. We'll bring another guy on here. What's going on, D-Cott?
I take that personally, man. What do you mean, these SEC people? I'm Big Ten. SEC?
Oh,
come on, what's going on here?
Coming in hot.
Hey, fellas, first and foremost, let me give you a little tie-in here, right? So last night, I didn't realize that my buddy David Pack, who went to John Marshall High School, along with his brother Kenny Pack, played with Mike Woodson's nephew at John Marshall High School, and I see him in the stands watching his son play against Woody and Indiana University. That was so surreal last night. I had no idea Nigel went to Miami. I had no idea. I've seen this kid since he was probably second grade because he went to Jewel Christian Academy with my sons. So that was crazy. I had no idea, man. So that was that was really surreal seeing him out there like that. So we're gonna unpack some stuff today, right? So first of all, Jonathan, I want to get on you about the Pacers and your disrespect towards Miles Turner, right? I'm just kidding.
Jonathan's listen, disrespect. Jonathan, not mine.
I'm sorry, my bad. Brandon's in the IU disrespect. I got to get it confused, right? So listen.
Yep.
Don't listen to Reggie when he talked about somebody dunking on somebody. That don't mean anything. You gotta take with a grain of salt what that loser says, right? So Miles dunking on Giannis meant nothing. NBA players do that all the time. So here's what I will tell you. At this point in Miles' career, we know who he is. Either A, we accept who he is, or B, we don't accept who he is, and he moves on, right? But those are the two choices we've got. He's not going to be a superstar guy. He on a championship team, he could be your fourth best player, but not your top team.
Oh, man.
He tells the truth.
Hey, man, this ain't how you be talking on Twitter, though, buddy.
Whoa! This is when we're talking Pacers, right? We're talking, and what I said
was,
man. You can't clown the guy. And serious talk, man. Listen, I love Miles, right?
I don't be clowning Miles Turner. I'm like, dude, he asked for all-star money.
Jonathan, didn't you just say, wait a minute, I know we're distracted by college basketball, but did we, because I was at the game Saturday night. That was
I didn't get a chime in.
Everybody stunk.
I got chimed in when they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. It was a streak. They hadn't beat the Milwaukee Bucks in I don't know how many tries. They finally won. I was like, thank you, man. Sidney Moncrief. Come on, man. Sidney Moncrief never had a stranglehold over Vernon.
Come on,
Sidney,
man.
Like, ever.
No. But you know what's crazy about all this? And I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm torn at times. When I go to the games, I want them to win. When I don't go, I want them to lose. And my ticket guy, we were talking, and I said, listen, we need a lottery pick. We don't need a play-in game. I'm going
to
be
real
about it.
Yeah, we need to lose.
And listen, I've already signed up for next year, fellas, so I'm already there. So with that said, we need to lose, man.
We got to pay for that downtown, man. We got to get downtown and get this, you know what I'm saying?
Downtown's already there, man. Downtown, I remember when the hotel across the street from Bankers Life was a parking lot. So it's just crazy, right? So anyway, so with all that said, Pacers got to lose.
Yeah.
Man. We can sit there and say we need them to lose. And people say, well, how dare you say that? Listen, I'm invested. Anybody who says that to me, Max, you're investing with me.
We need to win just to rub it in Paul George's face. We need
to
win.
Let's do that a couple years.
Let's not do this now, man.
Yeah. Let's not do this now.
No, not now.
Because right now, we're playing our way to like a 14th pick, and that ain't going to do anything.
Well, here's a great transition. Here's a great transition from that, because we're talking teams. And very rarely do you talk teams in the NBA, very rarely. And, like, when we talk teams with y'all, between you and Brandon, I'm like, oh, man, these dudes are going to come to blows, man, with their fandom between IU and Purdue. But, like, man,
I love it.
But, like, teams, man, like, the Pacers got to think about, and I get it, man. Y'all think about it, let's get a little bit better pick of whoever that might be coming out of the draft or coming at whatever, coming from the Euros or whatever, man. I get it. Because, again, man, I don't know. Maybe Pacers look at a European player at that pick, at that small forward pick. Who knows, man, right? But they need to get better players, and they need to become a more unified team. I looked at deeper into like a team, like who you want your team to kind of be since Kevin Durant and LeBron James are going to come knocking at your door. They're not going to come and play in a game with no time soon, right? You want to maybe be like Oklahoma City. Like, those guys are kind of like they're trying to win games, and they're winning games based off, like, you know what I'm saying, gelling and, like, you know, I played with a kid back in, you know what I'm saying, when we were, like, 17, 19 years, whatever. But, like, they're winning games, man, and, like, they're young, and, like, there's really, like, no threat of anybody, like, hey, man, I'm going to jump and go to over here and go run with the Lakers. Not yet. Not immediately. So, like, the Pacers need to kind of build something like that. Or like what Denver did, like, you know, again, a lot of pieces, a lot of moving parts.
You got to hit.
You got lucky. But again, till you get lucky, looking like, just check out what the Thunder have done. Got a young team that's like in their mid-20s.
But they also
the Pacers fan base ain't ready for that. That full blown thing.
Listen, the Pacers fan
year, that's it.
Have been
but they've grown. But they now, so I'm saying, you got a team that's grown together. The Pacers are kind of like growing together. I'm not saying. Bill Brandon was like, man, give. He reminded everybody. Miles Turner got a short term contract that he could be traded. I'm saying, man, keep it. Go for whatever you can get in the offseason, because we're not talking about bringing free agency here anyway. And if it's a mature guy that you bring in here that is ready to play, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Small forward, let's go, because that's what they kind of need. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And then next year, put the pressure on the team and the coach. And, like, dude, they want – dude, just try to get in the playoffs. I'm not saying let's win the playoffs, because you still ain't got that guy.
You guys, I love –
they need to lose eight of their last 11.
JB, I disagree with you 100%, man.
We continue to do that.
JB, the play-in game with the three-game sweep and a two-game sweep in a play-in game is not
the
what
city
the people
deserves
want.
It, man.
Those people that are talking aren't invested. You know what they're sitting on the couch watching Bally Sports, and then they're going to chime in on social media from time to time talking crazy. No, we're talking about investment here, right? And here's where we are. This is the summer, not next year, because you got four, basically, for lack of a better term, you got four number one picks, the 31st pick, Boston, Cleveland, and ours. You cannot go into this summer with four number one picks. We know that. You're going to have to parlay two things to happen. A couple of those picks with a couple of players parlaying to somebody worth really moving the needle, or you parlay those picks into a future number ones for others, right? Because you can't play four rookies. You can't. So this is the summer. To me, this is the summer to make the difference, right? And if they do something like that, there's an opportunity because money's money. And I know that what's the guy's name that plays for Philadelphia that didn't want to come here and play? He wouldn't even have a sit down with Pacers leadership. Tobias Harris. Did you know that? Tobias Harris refused a meeting, and we had money to give. He's a non-good. So think about a mediocre, on a scale of 1 to 10, a 6 out of a 10 player, maybe 6.5, says, nah, I'm good. It isn't going to happen or that way. It has to happen organically. And you
got
to follow that. That's why I say our pick needs to be a top. I would love to be top three pick because you all know who I'm thinking about. But realistically, a top seven pick, man, because you can maybe parlay that into something too.
I want top five.
No.
Lose eight of your last 10. We have 11 games left. We need to lose at least eight of them. Because right now, John, we're eighth. And right now we're two games back of 14th.
We
don't want that.
We need to be 14th. We need to be 14th.
You're great.
I meant 14th pick, not 14th position.
Oh, okay.
Right now we're eighth. Okay. We're two games, two wins away from possibly being the 14th pick, and that does this franchise no good.
No.
We actually agree upon this, which is crazy.
You're not going to get Paul George at 12 or 13, wherever that number was. That isn't going to happen, right? So yes, Denver got lucky with the future three-time MVP being a second-round pick. That's wonderful. But we live in Indiana reality, right? So we've got to lose those games, and we've got to say we're gonna take our chance. We're gonna roll the dice, lose these games, and let's go for it. Develop these young players. Look at that bench. They got a lot of players that are pretty decent players. Let's be honest, they're not great, but they got a lot of good young players. Put Turner, Halliburton. Buddy Hill, put him on the bench. Put him on the bench.
Oh, man.
Guys,
come on.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy, guys. We got enough young guys who need to be showcased.
Paul George might want to come back at some point. As much as he keeps talking about Indiana on all these podcasts.
Hey, it's like that girl you used to date back in the day, right? Right.
I'm just not ready to talk about racing just yet. I'm ready to talk about Pacers in May.
Come on, JB. You my dude.
Nah,
man.
No, for real. It hasn't been quite
you
it hasn't been quite
on
some time,
man.
And we gotta start talking about Ray Hall racing as soon as the Pacers season is over. Come on, man. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
I love it. You know, this needs to be a separate conversation. Don't get me started, because I'll go down that rabbit hole and I'll say some stuff. Don't even get me started on that.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think we're on a similar. At least Brandon and I are definitely. We have to get Jonathan. We got to get you on board eventually. So we'll see what happens. So we got Dallas here at home. We got the Knicks here at home. We've got OKC here at home, and we got Detroit here at home. All those games are really losable.
Take them L's.
Take them L's.
The next four games are on the road. Those better be losses.
Yeah.
By the time this show is over, I will hit you with the three small fours. The Pacers have probably got their eyes on. They probably will get them. Brandon Miller ain't gonna be one of them. Okay. So you take him off. You take him off the smorgasbord. Take him off the smorgasbord of your ideas of what him coming through the Pacers. Take him out your mind, Greg.
To Brandon's point. If but losing I got 8 guys. Out of 11, we got a chance.
But nah. You know, the NBA lottery's fixed. So he's not going.
I told you that back in the day, John.
The balls are magnetic. The balls are magnetic. Everybody knows this. The balls are magnetic.
Patrick Ewing should have been a Pacer.
You know, believe me. Hey, Brandon, it's just like the casino when you're trying to shoot for 9 or 26, right?
Yeah, and it comes up 00 green.
Oh, don't get me started on that one. Oh, Lord. But to that point, right, I want to, Jonathan, I do want to get who you're thinking about. But pivoting from the Pacers, right, we got to talk college. Brandon, you and I have been going at it a little bit, right? And
yep.
I'm going to stick to my what I've been saying. And I'm not listening to dumb Reggie. I haven't been talking trash about IU. I've been consistent. Mike Woodson is the best guy for the job that came in 2 years ago. He's going to continue to prove that. And if you saw that yesterday, going into the second half, he did make adjustments. What Miami was doing, spreading them out and getting to the basket because they're slow of foot. Did you see how they clogged that middle up when they took that 4-point lead? They forced outside shots. It wasn't Woody's fault that the kid dropped a 30-foot jump shot, missed it. Then you go around and you get we had a turnover. Then we had two more bad shots. Oh, what's the kid? Number 55 with the Braves. I thought he was going to be better. But anyway, those things happen. Those things happen.
Oh,
right?
Man.
But I'm
he went
0
for 13 in both games. Come on.
I believe me.
He
got to
repay his NIL money.
He does need to repay it.
He definitely has to. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you this, right? What I saw, and to you, Brandon, and I understand it, people say they quit, right? I'll never say people quit because I'm not out there on the court.
It just looked like it. That's all I'm saying.
That's their call.
That was the image it looked like to me.
Did you see Mike Woodson throughout the game as he's coached? He's up coach. He's not screaming, yelling, demeaning the players. Continuing to encourage him. But what he did say on that third time out in the first half, this is real man's ball. And at that point, I said, you don't have any real men on your team.
Oh,
this
man.
This is real
man. Hey, man, that
Miami,
was going to be my – hey, that was going to be my thing,
yes,
Dick Augustin.
I'm with you.
Who's in
I'm
the culture?
You.
What's the culture?
Yes.
Like, listen.
Pepperdine. Remember Pepperdine? With Dane Fife, I think Dane Fife is still looking for his wallet. You remember Pepperdine? This was AJ Guyton.
That was pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
Year.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got
this
blasted.
What that,
they got
yesterday's
blasted.
Game reminded me of that. And I said it before. They were
nah,
not
it wasn't that bad. Pepperdine was pretty bad, man.
It felt that
they
way.
They got
me,
blasted. Was that 2002? That wasn't 2002,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah. It was three.
2003. 2002 was the Maryland championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. But there, here's
okay.
What I say, right? What I saw. I saw the kid is 6'6". He bullied Dale Davis Jr. I know Dale had to be sitting there thinking to himself, son, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Well,
this
they didn't go back
6'6".
To him. Dick, we got an NBA kid, got tunnel vision. When it got a little tough, and
you gotta know how to
properly coach the NBA. Like I think John Shire, not to bump up Duke, they know how to do it. They know how to, and Calipari to a degree, he knows how to get the tunnel vision kids the best out of them when he needs them. The season for them is like a lag. I got to teach the kid how to play basketball. You see what I'm saying? And that's why Kentucky looks like an underperformer. That's
he took
why
four
like,
more shots
like,
than any other
hey, man,
player.
Hold on.
The team.
You can't get in bed with that. You can't get in bed with that because that's not how they program.
Yeah, but listen, you can't go back to Kelvin Sampson. Remember that year when
why not? Hey man,
y'all
gotta stop hating on that. Hey man, and even the coach
listen,
of Kent State,
he's been to me.
You got to Kelvin Sampson is the hey man. They beating odds right now because everybody had them losing, and here they are.
No,
they
no,
beat
I'm with
Auburn.
You there. What I'm saying is, you can't have that type of team in Indiana in Bloomington. You cannot.
Oh, you talking about where they just doing what the hell they want to do? No,
yeah,
absolutely
you
can't. Not.
You need a couple of guys. You don't need seven of them. You need
two. Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, he had party all the
two,
time.
But those two need to be playing though. They can't be your 11th and 12th guy on the bench. They got to be players, right? So that's my pain point for Woody, right? And I'm hoping that the kid in Kokomo, I don't know where he's leaning, but I'm hearing a lot of good things from people saying, hey, I use him to hunt, da 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 da. I would like that because of what he's an Indiana kid, right? And I hear he's very, very – seen him play one time, very, very athletic. I hear he's a good kid. Is that – you know, you guys have any beat on him at all?
Flory, yeah. I just saw something on him the other day. So right now that I've seen is that he's interested in Cincinnati. That was the latest that was the warmest right now. But, I mean, he's had offers from everybody. You know,
these kids, if they don't fit a certain athletic profile, that's like a tweener that can go to the NBA, the big Power 8 schools. That, I mean, you know what I'm saying, they don't hard. You know what I'm saying? Recruit them. You see what I'm saying?
We got to look different.
Zion Williams, hey man, they are lies. They tell you everybody sent Zion Williamson an emissary when he was in school. Everybody. You see what I'm saying? But, like, I'm not saying Purdue gets that kind of kid or IU gets that kind of kid, but if you get that kind of kid, you gotta start understanding that, you know what I'm saying, this is what kind of comes with that kind of kid.
That's the path that you're taking. That's the path that you decide to take.
Right.
That's a good point, man. The recruiting season is going to be really hot. Obviously, Pace is going to be hot, man. A lot of good stuff. And real talk, Brandon, man, listen. I'm going to tell you, Edie, I don't know what type of kid he is, but everything that I see on the court just screams this guy is a 10-year-plus player in the NBA. Not going to be a great player, but he seems like he's a really – and they always show his mother, and she looks all happy. I like him. Unfortunately for him, he went to a school where – In my view – didn't appreciate what he had. They talked a lot. When that game, when you have going 7'12" going against 6'3", there's no reason for him not to touch the ball at least once every time down the court, and most of the time twice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a big miss, man.
Take your time.
You got a 35.
I don't put that as much on the coaches as I do the players. You got to feed it. You have to find a way to work that ball in there. And when they're shooting five of 26 from three. When they shoot five of six from three, you're not going to get it in there because they're going to say, go ahead, shoot that. Mason Gillis, shoot those threes because we know you ain't going to hit.
Yeah.
Braden Smith, shoot those threes. Yeah. Fletcher, you can't hit the broadside of a barn. Shoot those threes because we're going to pack the inside. That's up to them to try to find the ball in there. I don't think that's Matt. I get all mad just the fact I didn't see any adjustments.
What about taking them out?
On that
what
side.
About taking them out? What about taking them
they
out?
They did.
What Woody did with the freshman last night. He sat the last 8 minutes of the first half. Because he was getting blown by the kid, the guy that looks like – that guy can't be in college. That guy's 35 years old, Miami's leading scorer. With the braids, with the French braids, he's got to be 35.
That's Bow Wow.
Yeah, that dude's got to be 35 years old. So you gotta let him know, come sit next to me. And I don't know, Brandon Smith is a guy that you can sit down. I think he's the type of kid being in Westfield. He'll leave next year if you sat down. I don't know.
Here's the thing, Nika. You got two freshman guards. They're going to be okay. They'll be all right. The same thing happened with Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy were both also two freshman guards.
Yeah.
You know, Jonathan, at the beginning of the show, hey, you got to wear it. You got to lay in it and accept it, and then you got to go to work the very next day. And that's exactly – not saying Purdue's going to do what Virginia did, but that's the type of mindset you have to have going into next season. And here's my thing. I told John, Painter is really good. He's mastered the Big Ten. He's mastered how to win a Big Ten championship. He's mastered how to win a Big Ten tournament. Now he's got to look and see, how can I change my ways to succeed in the NCAA tournament? What do I need to change philosophy-wise? And players-wise, what do you need to – he needs to go out and get somebody in the transfer portal. Believe it or not, because I know you didn't know about – you were talking about Nigel Pack. Nigel Pack left Kansas State, and he initially was going to sign with Purdue. And then he backed out and got more money and such to go to Miami. I think Purdue was relying too much that they were going to get Nigel Pack.
Wow. And you know what? It's funny you say that, right? Because we talk about, you know, preparing for the tournament. One of the things that we just saw in our two teams, Purdue and Indiana, what did we see? We didn't see the versatility needed to be able to pivot and change what you need to do. And until you have a group of about 10 players, yeah, you may run eight players out there on a game-in, game-out basis. But unless you've got about 10 players who can be interchangeable and can do different things, I love IU shooting the 12 with the headband, but they can't guard an empty basket. Yeah, I keep forgetting his name.
Yeah,
you can't guard an empty basket. Right. So that's the thing. You got to have, I want to say it, the proverbial two-way player. Everybody should be a two-way player because there's no changing offense and defense, right? But you got to have guys that can, with some long arms, you got to have Debo down there in Arkansas. You got to have a guy who's a junior with long, steady Moncrief-type defensive prowess who can hit an open shot. Unless we do that, man, we're going to be having the same conversation next year, man, same time. And yep. I mean Purdue and Indiana, man. And I don't want to have that conversation. I think, Mike, this is a big-time summer for Mike, too. Because, yeah, 2 years in, you're great. You've done better than the prior two coaches. I got you. Now what mm-hmm. do we do going into year three when you, as my boy Brandon said, when you have your own player, right? So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens, man. There's a chance I may be going to Louisville on Sunday. Anybody want to roll? I may have a bead on that championship game on Sunday.
I will have to get back with you. I've got so much family crisis that's going on right now. My other grandpa's not doing well now.
So. Praying for you too, man. Praying for you for sure. I didn't want to, but yeah, definitely for sure, man. I know the pain of a loss, man. It's a crazy time. Everybody's not okay, man. Everybody's not okay, no matter how much fun it seems like they're having. Mentally, man, and emotionally, a lot of us are struggling. I get that for sure, man. Definitely praying for you and the family. But let me know. Just message me and text me. Same thing, JB. I'm not taking that loser Reggie anywhere with me. He'll probably be somewhere belly up in a gutter somewhere anyway.
He ain't going. Hey, he doesn't even pay gas money, so.
Exactly. Believe me, I know. But I'll know by Wednesday or whether my bead is right. So it'll be in plenty enough time, too.
Beautiful. Thank you, Decott. Have a good one, brother.
I'll keep listening, fellas. Y'all be safe, man.
Thanks, sir.
Decott.
Love it. All right, John. Let's run through real quick. Let's run through the bracket, kind of where we're sitting at, kind of look where we're sitting. Mm-hmm. We got Alabama versus San Diego State, the Aztecs. Virginia lost to Furman. That was the very first upset of the tournament, which was a crazy pass by what's-his-face. Why couldn't he have that pass in 2019 against Purdue? But Alabama and San Diego State there, I think it'll be good. I think Alabama wins, but I think San Diego State's got some dogs that can keep it somewhat close. And we still haven't seen the maturation in the tournament yet of Brandon Miller. I know the first game he didn't score any points. He didn't play very well. Second game he played decently, but I think – I don't know if they're resting him, if he's hurt or whatnot, but I expect Bama still to roll just since I picked him. Yeah, Creighton and Princeton. I actually had Creighton going on this section to the bracket to the Sweet 16. But Princeton knocks off Arizona. Man, Arizona, man, laid a dud, John, just like the Boilermakers. And then Missouri got clipped by him as well. Thoughts? Any thoughts on that before we switch to another region?
Was kind of surprised Missouri got past Utah State. You can't forget about that.
Yeah.
Missouri kind of turned into a one-man show against that's why they got bounced, basically. Princeton is the kind of this definitely the Cinderella of the tournament, man. It's going to be a lot more, unfortunately, man, as they go into the next weekend, man, it's going to be a whole lot more tape that now a team's going to be able to prepare against them, man. So I'm not rooting against them, man. Everybody knows I always root for the underdog to get there, man, but they play and convincingly beat their two first round opponents, quite honestly, man. Princeton did, man. So again, man, you got to tip your hats to what they are doing. Just kind of, you know what I'm saying, kind of go see what the shakeout is going to be like once,
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? A team like Princeton gets bounced. You know what I'm saying? Work, dude. Everybody, that coach, my point is, like, that coach, like, FDU, what's his name, Tobin? Like, dude, they already got him going somewhere else, man. The Princeton coach, man, as soon as this is over, man, he'll be signed up with somebody else too, man. You know what I mean? So it's going – March Madness is – we're in the middle of it right now. We got a couple more weeks of it, man, but it's going to be – even wilder ride with college basketball in the next couple of weeks, man. I'm here for it, man.
Yep. Looking at the East region, we talked about Purdue losing to FDU and then FAU knocking off Memphis in a wild game that was. Penny Hardaway chucked that water bottle right after that game. But here looking, John, I'm surprised just how much bully ball Tennessee played against Duke. Duke got bullied in that game completely.
Duke got bullied. Duke got bullied, man. They weren't able to athleticize. They're a young team. It's fresh coat, you know, paint guys. They're freshman, sophomore-led team, you know what I'm saying, this year. But they went on a big streak, man. They went through the ACC like a hot knife through butter and then won their tournament. So that's the reason why people kind of had a head scratcher. Brandon, when we were on the show with the Epic Podcast Brothers, this last week or so, man, I had all the stats in the world, like who was the top 10 teams as far as defensive efficiency, who was the top 10 teams as far as offensive teams, as far as college basketball is concerned. You can take all those stats right out the window and throw them away, because the tournament kind of says, oh, okay, yeah, shake that up and spit it, and like it doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? Tennessee Volunteers couldn't, man. Like, again, they when you think about what they did this season, it wasn't necessarily special. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they navigate through the SEC, but like they couldn't shoot worth a damn from outside. You know what I'm saying? They have a 7-footer, and he's again in a league where he probably should average a double double. I think he does get like 11 points. But the thing about Barnes' team, Coach Barnes' team, man, he usually has them ready for regular season. Be damn, he usually has all his teams ready for. You know what I'm saying, the tournament, and the Volunteers were ready, man, regardless of what the data said, regardless of that they can't shoot from outside, regardless of, yes, they defend, but they also give up a little, you know what I'm saying, sometimes they give up a little bit too much in the middle, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, driving guards to the middle, whatever, man. Volunteers took life by the horns, man, and they said, you know what I'm saying, like I said, stats be damn, man, like I said, Duke got... So, like, where are we at, Brandon, with the brackets, man, because this is what I would say. The more and more blue bloods that aren't here, like, it's kind of going to come down to who's got the best team, not necessarily the best, like, okay, that guy's going to go to the NBA. You see what I'm saying?
I still think the best region's the West, and we'll get to them, but I still think the best regions are coming out of there. Kansas State advanced. They knocked off Kentucky yesterday, John. Coach Cal... I mean, I know Kansas State was a better ranked team, but I thought Kentucky had the better players, and I didn't know if Coach Cal and them really planned for that. I mean, game planned. I honestly don't, because he couldn't, in the press conference, he couldn't give the name of the best player for Kansas State that torched them. Like, how much game plan are you really doing if you can't name the boy from Kansas State? I have a little problem with that, him saying that in this press conference, but... I look at them and they're faltering. I look at Marquette faltering to Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo, Michigan State, find a way once again. I think I was heavy on this year. I was heavy on UConn. I was heavy on Marquette, and I was heavy on Arizona. I talked to you and said that all season. Those are my three that I thought had good chances to make runs, and I'm down to one left. Very disappointed in Marquette's performance, John. I really thought that they kind of I thought the bracket there was going to open up for them. I really did. And it's same old Shaka, right, I guess?
This ran into a bigger Michigan State team, man. They got out-rebounded in critical basketball times, man. When the game got close, man, and Michigan State tried to push Marquette tried to push Michigan State, just wouldn't let them come back at all. And that's what kind of happened. So Marquette kind of had a team that had that a well balanced team of outside and in, and that's kind of where everybody kind of took them. They played coming out of the Big Hell. They won the Big East, man. The Big East. If you ask me who the best conference was this year, I'm probably going to say the Big 12, and then we'll say the Big East, and then we'll say the Big Ten. I know all my friends from the Big Ten are going to be like, "What are you talking about?" But those are the best conferences, like where the best teams are. You know what I mean? So, again, Brandon, I don't want to, you know, saying negate where we're going at, but like it's kind of you say the West is kind of where everything's kind of going on.
Yeah, let's go. We'll go there right now. So you've got Arkansas beat Kansas, beat number one Kansas. Yeah, you can say without Bill Self, but Arkansas, Musselman ripping the shirt off after the game. Musselman against Hurley and UConn. UConn was the third team this year that I thought could make some noise, and then some brackets, I've had them in the Final Four. But Arkansas versus UConn, and then you got the rematch, Gonzaga versus UCLA of a la 2007. with Adam Morrison crying on the court. UCLA, they're without their best defensive player, and Gonzaga is still a blue blood. Gonzaga is still a sleeper. We talked about that in our bracketology show. But I think right here, Arkansas, UConn, Gonzaga, and UCLA, I can see easy any of those four win the national championship. Not saying they will, but I can see it coming
from
the West.
Not saying they will. Man, this is going to be a stare-off between UConn and Arkansas.
It's going to be, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Between those coaches, man. Those coaches might implode on national television, man.
They play Thursday night at 7:15, so we don't have to wait long.
Yeah, man, that's appointment television right there, folks, man. I promise you, man. This is the way, and then not just because of the coach, man, just because of the way their teams are executing right now. When you talk about UCLA and Gonzaga, again, some familiar foes, man. They know each other. They've recruited. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Against one another, and that game damn near probably go in double overtime. I'm calling
yeah.
That game probably will go in double overtime.
Definitely.
Anybody from that bracket can win the championship. For sure.
All four of those games, and this is the East region and the West region, which we've covered, but Michigan State and Kansas State, all four lines are within 5 points. Michigan State's favored by 2 over Kansas State. UConn is a 3.5-point favorite over Arkansas, which, like I said, I like UConn a lot, but I think a game will be closer than that. I'd probably almost take Arkansas plus the 3.5 right now. Tennessee is only a 5-point favorite against Florida Atlantic, and then UCLA is a 2-point favorite against Gonzaga right now. So I think it's going to be appointment television on Thursday night. I'm looking forward to that. Going to the Midwest region, the last region, the number one team, Houston. John, Houston looked vulnerable in the first half against Auburn, and in the second half, they just kind of turned it on and got it together. They're going to take on Miami, obviously, who just beat the Hoosiers last night. And then Xavier, that team is starting to play well. I think Pitt just ran out of gas. I had Xavier winning this game just because of the way Pitt was playing. I figured it was a good time. And then Texas. I had Texas in the Final Four here over Houston. So we could still see a Houston versus Texas matchup, I think. But I'm looking forward to the Houston-Miami game on Friday night. That's going to be a run-and-gun game. That'll be your 7:15 game on CBS.
For sure, man. Anybody, if you think your team is a latter-round, you're talking about your NBA team is a latter-round kind of guy, you know what I'm saying, that's what your guard, you know what I'm saying, your team needs a guard or a small forward, man, the Houston and Miami game is probably where your eyes will be. Looking at Isaiah Wong, if you didn't see what he did against IU last night, you know what I'm saying, the other night, man, great, great guard play. Not necessarily all stellar, like, you know,
right.
Kyrie Irving, but like, dude, man, very crafty, can shoot, can handle, probably play a little shooting guard too, man. You know, you kind of like what you see out of him. You also like what you see out of Sasser, the kid played for Houston, man, very tough-minded. Small forward, shooting guard, kind of got dude. He's favoring, he's got a dealing with a groin injury, and he's still out, a potential first rounder, and he's dealing with a gory injury, and like he's still like out there laying on the lines so that the team can advance. Like, dude, man, those are the kind of guys that you know what I'm saying, you kind of got to you raise the eyebrow out and see like what kind of resume they putting together. Like, you know what I'm saying,
right.
Going further, man. So I feel like Houston's chances. I said this on the college bracketology show. I like Houston so long as they were healthy. So and like I said, I know they play small ball probably better than anybody less than this. I won't call it small ball. We'll call it medium sized ball, right? They don't necessarily have a 7-footer. You know what I'm saying? But we'll call it medium. But they necessarily ain't playing all 5'9" guys either, right? So I feel like Houston's chances of getting to the Final Four and potentially winning it, potentially as long as they are healthy. Outside of that, man, Texas, I had thought they got upset already, Brandon, to be honest with you, man. But again, anybody, you know what I'm saying, anybody picking the Hook'em Horns to get there, they have what they have endured. They fired their coach.
Right.
I'm talking about during the season, and they'd endured, like, they've kind of put all that behind them, and he's going to be a head coach of Ole Miss coming next year, and that's going to be real awkward. but here Texas are. You can't say that team's not tough minded because they haven't let up. So again, man, I wouldn't be surprised if either one of those teams get to the Final Four, as I say, and win it all.
Yeah, absolutely. real quick, I want to thank our sponsors: Maverick Custom Motorsports, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, and as well as Wiseman Logistics. Without you three, we would not be able to do our shows. So thank you for supporting us and being there with us along this fine journey. Could not do it without you. John, I want to swing real quick. We got 9 minutes. I want to swing to NFL real quick. Steelers able to get Patrick Peterson, which was a huge pickup for the cornerbacks. And then they're able to get a couple of tackle and a guard from Philadelphia, starting guard Samalo. Getting him, I think, is going to be huge. They're trying to sign up that offensive line for Kenny Pickett. And right now they're slaying the draft to take the big left tackle. So I think this is, you can tell the focus point here is to shore up that offensive line now to protect Kenny, open up some holes in that run game. And then obviously adding Patrick Peterson back there now in that backfield is going to be, defensive backfield is going to be huge.
Yeah, free agent dollars are flowing, Brandon. I think the most, I don't know, I don't have my tracker in front of you, man, but like the most money is probably being spent in the NFC North, is it not? Between Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions, man. So those defenses are reloading on both those programs. Sauce Gardner, correct me for all safety. He signed with a 1-year deal with the Lions. I know people always say the Lions don't spend money, but they're spending money and they got draft picks. Kind of what they do with those draft picks, I don't know, Brandon, because I think they're picking at pick 6, 18, and 48 this year, or something crazy like that, man. And like, dude, can you know what I mean? If I'm the coach, man, I'm asking people, hey, man, with multiple picks, do you want to pick for us? Do you want this pick 4? You see what I'm saying? But again, man, like I said, Detroit and Chicago, like I said, putting themselves from a free agency standpoint in good position to start the season next year.
Yeah. Looking Colts real quick. Colts traded Stephon Gilmore to the Cowboys for a 5th-round pick. Almost kind of hits the reset button right there. They cut Matt Ryan. They signed the kicker Matt Gay to a largest kicker contract for a kicker. 4 years, $22 million. How shocked are you that they didn't go out and re-sign Bobby Okereke? He signs with the Giants, 4 years, $40
million. Nah, it's a new – even though the same defensive coordinator, man, it's a new head coach regime, and he's going to want to oversee kind of everything. Bobby Okereke seemingly is a hot gun for hire, you know what I'm saying, kind of guy. He goes out and signs with the Giants. God bless him. You know what I'm saying? For 2-year deal. If he was looking for 2-year deals out of the Colts, probably wasn't going to happen anyway. You know what I mean? So, like, no big shocker. No big shocker.
EJ Speed's back with the Colts. 1 year, $9 million. The Raiders traded tight end Darren Waller to the Giants, which I thought was kind of weird for them. You know, the Raiders are kind of resetting that that button as well. Sam Darnold signs a 1-year deal with the 49ers. Jimmy G's going to the Raiders for 3 years, $67 million. Alan Lazard goes to the Jets, and then now we're just waiting for the financials to work out with compensation As Aaron Rodgers said that he wants to play for the Jets. So now it's a trade between the Packers and Jets that still needs to get worked out. And he's going to go to a tough AFC East, which is harder than where he was, which makes no sense to me, but hey, is what it is.
I don't know, Brandon.
He's in our conference now.
It ain't official yet.
Well, not yet, but
it's going to happen. What's more intriguing also is the drama that is happening unfold. I missed the press conference with Lamar that he was doing on his YouTube channel. I think he had a press conference today at 1:00. I missed
Lamar Jackson.
Press conference by himself. Yeah, you
know that.
Brandon, thinking about what he's doing, like representing, like everybody kind of applauds him for, like, you know what I'm saying, having his mom or whoever his family represent. I think that like now is definitely the wrong case, you know, wrong course of action. Because when your agent represents you, like the Heat, and then when the things get tough between the team and you, and like what you perceive as your contract to be, it's the agent to take the heat. Right now, who looks the villain in the part?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who looks the villain in the part looks to be like more so like Lamar. You know what I'm saying? I know some fandom are out here like, hey man, Lamar, why can't they pay him? Like, and then, you know, the team is kind of not taking the high road, not really kind of put it out there like why they won't pay Lamar what they want to, you know what I'm saying? They, like, you know what I'm saying, because of the injury factor in the history of him not being out there or anything like that. So I just think it's perplexing that we are here at this moment right now and they can't figure out how to get a quarterback, homegrown talent, a guy that, you know what I'm saying, everybody said they filtered down some guy, helped Bill Polian say he should play a wide receiver, and then he turns an MVP caliber season. And I get it that he's taking hits or whatnot, but he's your guy, so just pay him. Why would you pay him a penny less than what Deshaun Watson is getting paid from Cleveland?
Right.
ESPN right now says
should the Colts go after Lamar Jackson? It makes sense. Shane Steichen's system that he ran there in Philly with Jalen Hurts, the same
Jalen
system
Hurts.
I think would succeed with Lamar Jackson. I think the Colts at least, John, owe themselves a conversation with Lamar. And I know they've told the fan base, and they've told whoever, we're tired of going quarterback to quarterback to quarterback, and we need to start fresh. We're going to get a young guy in here, but I think you at least have to have the conversation with Lamar to see if maybe it's a good fit, possibly.
Right.
It can't hurt.
They're not nobody. When they mention Anthony Richardson, and it's not to dog him, it's like what you see potential. When you mention Will Levis, again, you're like, if he can get healthy, it looks like it could be a walk-and-talking potential quarterback.
And I would take Lamar over both of those guys. A proven commodity.
Right, everybody would take Lamar, you know what I'm saying? But, like, what else, other conversation would you have to lose? It's probably what the Colts kind of have to think. Does it become too expensive for them to even think about it? Because, like, how much do they ask for Jonathan Taylor in return? Or whatever, something kooky. I don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that would be – it's something to entertain. I don't think it happens, though, Brandon.
Okay. We got Ed Cooley to Georgetown. Rick Pitino, 6-year deal with St. John's. Mike Bray to South Florida.
Wow.
A lot of pieces moving. So,
man.
Other than that, I don't have anything else, John. Only thing before we wrap up I would say is thank you for everybody for being on this road with us. I'll be out for the next couple of days, so if you can, pray for me. We got a lot of stuff going on in the family right now, so my head won't be completely in the sports world for a bit. But pray for me. Say something nice. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Keep them close. And, John, I'll let you wrap us, my man.
Man, I want to say thank you to the callers for chiming in, man. I know we also have some folks chiming in on the Facebook Live, you know what I'm saying? Listen, I did a pre-show today, Brandon. I felt it. I haven't done a pre-show in a long time, man. So it is what it is, man. I know I talk fast, man. But, like, again, man, Brandon, I wanted to just offer my condolences. I know me and Brandon, I've kind of already done this. I've not necessarily had to do it publicly or anything like that, but I want to offer my condolences again to my family and yours, man. Again, it's never easy losing anybody, you know what I'm saying? So, again, Brandon's my buddy, Yeah, and when your buddy is hurting, you hurting and all those things, man. We are a family here at Crossroads Sports, so of course we're praying. Of course we're praying for Brandon Relief, of course, man. You know what I'm saying? Don't even think about it twice, right? Outside of that, man, we want to say thank you also to all our sponsors, Maverick Custom Motorsports, Wiseman Logistics, Custom, Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. How can we do the show without them as well? Man, the March Madness is here, whether you're watching the men's basketball or the women's basketball, man. I know it was another subject, man. We'll talk about that. College basketball is better than NBA.
Hey, good luck to the IU women tonight, by the way. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Good luck to them. But, like, college basketball is better than pro basketball, man. And like right now, they're trying to figure it out too, man. You know what I'm saying? So we're not talking about, well, where's Kevin Durant playing or where's LeBron James playing? We're talking about or what the hell's going on with y'all. We're talking about who's going to win a championship, who's the best. They're trying to figure out right now. But, like, right now, man, college basketball is winning. And if you ain't into that, man, shame on you. You should, man, because, like, when it kicks back up here in a couple of days or not, man, you're going to see more excitement. You're going to see more upset. You're going to see guys, you know, and gals going for it, man, and trying to win something and put themselves in history books, man. So again, man, Crossroads Sports, I'll be – Brandon's brief will tap out. Y'all know I'll still be tapped into it, man. You want to hit us, hit me up. You know how to hit me up on all the socials and whatnot, man. But until next time, man, that's Brandon Reef. I'm Jonathan Burson. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.